Today is a momentous occasion. We're going to finish up the Johannine epistles. Since we are finishing 3 John, what I would like to do is to read the entire epistle. Of course, it's only 14 verses, but I'd like to read it all so we get a whole feel for what John has said. And then when we, in our concluding remarks, we'll be talking about what we've learned about from 3 John. And here's the way 3 John reads. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers in the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, he who does evil has not seen God. And now the passage for today, the last 3 verses. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know, that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you in pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I want to just back up a bit in the introduction here and mention some of the basic introductory things of this epistle. First, the majority of writers have taught, and do teach now, that these epistles were written about AD 85, 90, somewhere in there, and John wrote them from Ephesus. Well, in 1976, a book came out by J.A.T. Robinson. He was doing research to prove the late date. He wanted to prove that these epistles came later. And his book was named Redating the New Testament. Instead of proving the late date, he wound up endorsing the early date. And I think he's right this time. So my understanding of the background is this, that the Apostle John was in Jerusalem when he wrote, not in Ephesus. And he was writing to Gaius, and Gaius was in Asia Minor, somewhere in present-day Turkey. That's where he was. And the date was AD 64-65, when they were written, not 85-90. This would be just prior to the Jewish War from 66 to 70, and the culmination of that war was that Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed, according to what Jesus had prophesied. Now, a possible scenario here, and this is possible, nothing in Scripture is against it, so I'm surmising this may have been what happened. John had written the Gospel while he was in Asia Minor. He was there where Gaius was, maybe in Ephesus. It was in the early 60s that he wrote that, and he left it there in Asia Minor as an evangelistic tool. And you know what that means. It's the only book in the Bible written to show people how to receive eternal life. And so John wrote that and left it there in Asia Minor. Then he returned to Jerusalem, and after a few months, or years maybe, he wrote 3 epistles, and all about the same time. And he sent one messenger, maybe Demetrius, to take those to the intended recipients. in 1st and 2nd John, and 2nd John I take it to be a cover letter for 1st John, they went to the same church. That is, they went to a church, maybe Ephesus. And 3rd John went to Gaius personally. Now, it was intended for the church where Gaius was, but Gaius, they sent it to Gaius because, remember, Diotrephes wouldn't let anybody, he resisted everything that John said, and so he sent it to Gaius to show that the people would hear what John had to say. So that means then, if Demetrius was in Jerusalem, he reversed the steps of Paul. Paul went from Ephesus to Jerusalem. Well, Demetrius went from Jerusalem to Ephesus and followed probably the same basic path. You can read about Paul's journey in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Now, all of this is conjecture, but nothing violates anything that we know for sure. Now, all of that is background. So, in 3 John, John's writing a letter to Gaius. He didn't write it to the church, remember, because Diotrephes would let it be read. And we've already seen that Gaius was commended, Diotrephes was condemned, and Demetrius was recommended. That's basically the outline of the book. So the recipient was Gaius, the renegade was Diotrephes, the representative was Demetrius. All of that is just background. We're going to get into the meat of it now. In verse 12, we find Demetrius, and he mentions him. And this one out of the way. Demetrius, the first section we see here is the praise for the faithful. He's praising the faithful. Now, don't get a hold of Gaius and say, oh, that's about Gaius, forget me. No, no. He's praising the faithful Demetrius. How can I be a faithful Demetrius, is what I should say. So, if Gaius was going to have Demetrius as a house guest, and he was, then he's going to need to know something about him personally, and about what he taught. So, he says about Demetrius, he was praised by all. The Greek says, witnessed to by all. That is, all who were in a position to know him, said Gaius was a good man. You know, there are those who watch your ministry. There are those who watch you. And if I were to go and ask sometime your neighbors, what do you think about that person? Do you know, I got a visit. I was in my office in Miami, and some people came, some elders from a church. They came and said, we're considering so-and-so for an elder, and he says that you know him. Tell me about him. Isn't that a good way to do it? An elder should have all these requirements. Elder should be like this, or a deacon should be like this. And so, go to his neighbors. Hey, is he like that? Not necessarily believer neighbors. The unsaved too. What do you think about so-and-so here? What kind of a neighbor is he? Does he get mad at you once in a while? You know? Does he throw things over the fence? No. He was looking. He said, the people who know Demetrius, they like him. They say good things about him. And people are doing that with us as well. Now, these people may have included those from other churches where he had been. Now remember, Demetrius is a traveling evangelist. He needs this letter to Gaius, so he's going to be speaking in that church and working in that area. So he'd been ministering to other places. And so people need to know. Gaius needs to know. Is he dependable? Well, you mean he has to be dependable? He knows the Bible. Isn't that enough? No, no. He needs to be dependable. Is he on time? Is he prepared? Does he sound like he's been studying when he comes to the Sunday school class? When he comes to the pulpit? You know, when he's in Awana? Does he know the verses that the children are supposed to be learning? Yeah. Is he prepared? Is he considerate? Is he concerned about other people's feelings? No. All of that is what Demetrius is being attested to. Does he know the word? Ah, Is that important? Is it important that we as heads of the family, parents, that we know the word? You bet it is. We need to know the word for home, for here, for wherever we go. We need to know the word. And we're getting away from that, I'm afraid. Know the word. Be in the word daily. Know what the word says. Be a man or a woman of the book. Remember 2 Timothy 3? One of the great verses on inspiration is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God might be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What does that say? It says that if I'm going to do any good work for the Lord, then I'd better know the word. Because that's where the work comes from. I can't work for the Lord unless I know the word. Whatever it is. And so, that the man of God might be truly furnished unto every good work. That's what we need. And so, they were looking at Demetrius. And they said, Demetrius is a good man. He's praised by all. And then, he's also praised by the truth, he says. Praised by the truth itself. Now, some have suggested that the truth there is Jesus. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. But I don't find anything here. How would Jesus praise him? You know? He's praised by all people, and he's praised by Jesus. You know, I don't see it there. He's a good man. He said that, F.F. Bruce. But I don't understand that here in this place. But he's also, I think we also can see here, if he's praised by the truth itself, then it's what he taught. The truth that he taught is recommended. You know? What do you think he taught? If John is saying he's praised by the truth he taught, what do you think John would say? What's John looking at? John's looking at the grace gospel, right? Yeah. John said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, has eternal life. What do you think Demetrius was preaching? He was preaching the grace gospel. See? Otherwise, John wouldn't say, hey, he's a great guy. The truth itself speaks well of him. No. Also, not just grace salvation, but grace living. See? We live by grace. Not only are we saved by grace, plus not one thing. What do you say? Not one thing. I heard a man the other day, and I listen once in a while to sermons on TV. And I know him. I know his ministry. I know he's out to lunch. But he gave the gospel. He said, salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. I said, whoa, I didn't know he believed that. And then he gave the invitation. Gee, he had him doing everything but chewing dentine. I'm telling you. He added more stuff to the gospel. That was not a grace gospel. He didn't believe that. He heard that one time. That was something he heard. It was nice to say, but he never learned it. He didn't learn from the word. Right? Oh. Demetrius was witnessed to by the word. The word, grace, salvation, grace living. Even grace giving. Oh, turn that one over real fast. Grace giving. Not, you got to pay so much, you got to do so much percentage, none of that. Grace giving is, as the Lord has prospered you. That's it. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what John taught. So, John says, the truth that he taught is great stuff. And then the truth that he lived. Because the truth that he teaches is nothing unless he lives it. No? He says in one place here about these traveling evangelists that they went forth for his name's sake taking nothing from the Gentiles. That's the way he lived it. He was preaching grace giving and grace living and grace salvation and didn't take a thing from the Gentiles. If the people of God can't give it, we don't want it. You know? This idea that, let's have a bake sale and let's go ask the people to give money for the church. No, no. If the Lord doesn't supply the money through the people here, close it up. It's over. Grace living, grace giving, not only teaching, but doing it, living it, living what he taught. I think that whole thing is that when he went out like this, one finger went out to the other people, and three fingers were pointing back this way, you know? Whatever he preached to himself as well. In fact, he got it in the study himself. And if he wasn't agreeing with it, and it wasn't a part of his life, he shouldn't be standing up here saying it. Now, so, by all the people, by the truth, but also he says, praised by the apostles. He says, and we also bear witness. Now I say we there. It could be just John. You know, you can use the we that way sometimes. You know, the royal we. The queen says, and we are glad to see you. It's just her. We are glad. Sometimes we is used like that. It's an editorial we. But I think John is doing here, not just him, but others as well. We and our. So I think he's talking about the apostles themselves. They received reports from the churches. Whenever someone went out, evangelist went out, he came back and reported to the church what had happened, and the apostles listened. And they saw what he did there in Jerusalem. So Demetrius had been in Jerusalem with the apostles, and they knew him. And then John says, and our record is true. See, you don't know these other people. These other people, all those people said he was a great man. But you know us, and you know our record is true, is what he's saying. And they knew either by face, or they knew them by reputation, but they knew the apostles. And they knew when they said something, it was true. So, there's praise for the faithful, a faithful Demetrius. And there are plans for the future, verses 13 and 14a. He says, I had many things to write to you. I had plans, had decided I was going to write to you this and this and this. And John could do that. You know, John could write a long letter if he wanted to. This letter is only one chapter, 14 verses, and 299 words. No, I didn't count them. I read it somewhere. But he wrote the gospel. That was 21 chapters, 878 verses, and 19,099 words. He can write big ones. But he said, no, I'm going to write a few things to you. There's some things I thought about writing, and I said, no, I'll wait. I'll get those later. Now, what does that say about the things that he did write? I was going to write all this and this and this, and I decided, no, I won't write that. I'll write this. The thing that he did write is a very important thing. We mentioned this in 2 John. It's very important. So the things he wrote down here are very important. He decided not to write the others, but he decided to write these. So that was important. So that's the past. He had decided, but he changed his mind. Now, the present. I do not wish to write them now. He decided to write them later. Okay. Then the promise. He said, but I will come shortly to you. I hope to come shortly. Yeah. There were a lot of reasons to leave Jerusalem. Remember, John's in Jerusalem. A lot of reasons to leave Jerusalem because the war was coming, and Jesus had told them that. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:2, they were walking by the temple, and Jesus said, "You see all these things here? Yeah. Not one stone is going to be left upon another that won't be thrown down." Whoa! And they could see it coming. They could see the pressure building, and Rome was making troubles. And so, if they're going to witness for the Lord, they better get out of town. And I think that's what happened with many of them. And then, of course, Jesus said, go into all the world. And the persecution was mounting, so I take it that there was a good reason for him to go, to be up there so he could keep on witnessing for the Lord. I promise to come shortly to you. So, there was praise for the faithful, plans for the future, and then peace to the friends. The peace is emphasized in middle of verse 14, or it may, if you have something other than King James, that may be verse 15. It's listed that way in some. But in any case, peace to you. What does he mean? Well, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5, 1. But he's not saying that. That's already there, you know. But he's saying, I want you to have peace. How are you going to have peace? Well, Philippians chapter 4 tells us how to do that. If there's anything good, anything just, anything righteous, think on these things. A whole list of things there. Think on these things, and the peace of God will be with you. That's how we have peace. We don't have peace simply by conjuring it up and going some kind of a ritual. No. We have peace by obeying what the Word of God says. Think on the proper things, and what you think is what's going to come out in you, that peace. Think on these things. Now, thinking on the bad things, that's not going to bring peace. Thinking on the good things brings the peace. And so he says, peace be with you. Peace with each other. Peace with God, of course. You can't have peace with each other until you have peace with God. But also peace with the government, so that you can do the work of the gospel right on. But peace, he says, be with you. So peace is emphasized. But people are also identified. Have you ever noticed how people become your friends? You meet a group of believers and they're your friends. Automatically, they're your friends. I've gone to churches on vacation. You know, you do that? And they see you and new face. Hey, brother's here. And everybody comes and they become your friends. Now, I've had it with, I go back a ways, but I go back to the town, back to my hometown. I go back there, I go to church. Oh, here we are. All my friends are there in the church. And then I go, I think through where I've ministered, this place, that place, and I have friends there. I've been interim pastor for 4 or 5 churches. I have friends there. You know? We have friends who are believers. And you go there and you say, I'm a believer. Oh, wow, welcome, hug you. Because we're friends. That's where friends come. So he says, friends, the friends here greet you. Now, they didn't know these people. Not all of them. Maybe some. But here are the friends who are saying from Jerusalem. These Jerusalem believers say, hi, friend. You know why? They have the same experience. They all know Jesus Christ as Savior. They have the same character, upright character. Same values, same family values. That's why we love each other. Same hopes. Where are you going to go when you die? Isn't everything terrible? The things are going bad around here. Who knows when the next big bomb is going to fall and everything's going to go kaplooey and maybe I'll be in the middle of it. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. Because we have a hope, see? We have a hope, all of us together. We hope on the Lord. And that hope doesn't mean I hope so. It means that there is a blessed hope. The Lord's going to return. And I've read the last page before the maps. And the last page says, we are going to win. The Lord's going to come. And that's our hope. And believers, that's why we love each other. That's why we're all friends, because we have a common hope. Now, you know what a stranger is? A friend you haven't met yet. We need to see that. Meeting friends. A friend is one who knows Jesus Christ. Then he says, you greet the friends by name. What did he say? Yeah. You greet the friends by name. He isn't saying, all right, all you people in Twin Lakes, hello. No, no. Hello, Stricklands. Not just Stricklands. Priscilla, Robert, you know. Greet them by name. Paul was like that. You wouldn't even need a chapter 16 if Paul didn't mention names. In Romans. Romans 16, everybody, he called this one, round down. And then you say, oh yeah, this one was in Acts. But he met that person in Acts 18 or whatever. You know? Because Paul valued names. And the best thing you can do for a person is to call them by name. I can't do it for anything. I can't remember a name. Sometimes I can't remember your name. Sometimes I keep my name in here. Robert Hall. don't know. But calling somebody by name is great, you know. Melanie does it for me. She knows everybody's name. But he says, greet the people by name. And Colossians is a good one. Read Colossians, the last chapter, chapter 4 sometime. And you'll find 4 Gentiles mentioned and 4 Jews. And he names them, says something about each one of them. That's great. Greet the friends by name. That's John. Now, this brings us to the end of the Johannine epistles, the end of 3 John. Now, let me mention just a couple of lessons that we've learned from 3 John. First of all, Christians are not always what they should be. They're not. You're not. I'm not. We're not always what we ought to be. Right? We may have to serve in face of some opposition from other brothers. You expect the world to be against you, but you may have to have some problems with brothers, brother on brother, and you have to live with that. Help the brother. You do what is right as well, and then the question is, will that affect your service for the Lord? It shouldn't. Another thing we've learned is that Christians often imitate other Christians. Yeah. People do what they see you do. Yeah. John says, imitate what is good for 2 reasons. Because the good is of God and the evil, ones who do evil don't know God. But we have to ask ourselves, if people imitate other people, then people are going to imitate me. I better be careful how I live. You know, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. But you have to be careful that you don't be the one to lead into the ditch. Now, that means our family. Family looks at you, men, women. Grandchildren, same thing. Local church. How we work in the church, not only here, but out there. Over there, wherever we do, working together, people will imitate us. You know, Gaius had two examples here in 3 John. He had either Diotrephes, the one who loved to have the preeminence, or Demetrius, the man of God. Well, who do you think he was imitating? Now, who do you imitate, and who imitates you? That's important. There was a man in Fort Worth, great Southern Baptist man of the faith, and I forget his name now. Natural, but he always carried his Bible like this. You'd be surprised how many young men went around carrying their Bibles like that. You know. Why? They were imitating. Not just that, I'm sure other things as well. How many preachers have you ever seen hold their Bible like this? Billy Graham! And a lot of preachers hold their Bible like that because of Billy Graham. They imitate. Somebody's going to imitate you. And you make sure that the ones you imitate are the ones who are doing the good things. Now, Christians often allow the spirit of Diotrephes to reign. the one who loves the preeminence, the one who likes to run everything, they allow that to happen. And Diotrephes was successful because of other members of the church. They allowed him to dominate. They wouldn't take their stand against him, standing for the truth, and standing with those who would stand. And Diotrephes was successful because two things in the church, complacency and cowardice. Failure to stand up. Okay. Three questions. Who is the one that you will imitate? Think it out. A second question. Who will imitate you? You don't know that, but you know some will. And will that imitation be good or bad?